of this event in the Gospel of Mark. Is it our event too? Can we see the blinding light of Jesus? Can we too hear the Word of God that says, listen to Him? It's not only a message for you and I, the saved. It's a message for those who are not saved. For those who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. For those that will not repent. For those who will not confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And for those who refuse to be baptized for the remission of their sins, so that they might go to heaven with the rest of the saved. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is shining brilliantly today. Even though he's sitting at the right hand of God, Jesus is still shining brightly, through the words of Scripture, so that we might understand the gospel of good news of salvation. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 has this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in or through Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. Excuse me. Chapter 1. Verse 4. Might as well begin in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds just like what Paul wrote, didn't it? Who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To obtain, to have, to hold on to get an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. Your name is in heaven, my friends, if you are saved. Your name is in heaven when you are baptized for the remission of your sins. Your name is in heaven as you walk the days of this earth in the righteousness of God. Sadly, most of the world will not take even a moment to consider Jesus Christ. Here in our own nation, the percentages of those who will even confess to being a Christian is like 57%. And that's not even people who are particularly practicing religion. It's just that those people, for whatever reason, claim that they are a Christian. The numbers of mainline Christianity is going downward. People don't care to look at Jesus Christ for salvation because they've got everything they need in this country. They have food and plenty of it. They have any kind of drink of their choice, some of which are alcoholic and tears up the brain, tears up the liver, tears up your life. We've got every article of clothing that we could possibly desire. A closet may be full. You may have difficulty deciding on what clothing to wear any particular day. We drive the nicest cars that we can afford. We live in the nicest homes that we can afford. We have leisure. And in this country, if you make $200 a year, you're making more than 99% of the world. We don't need Jesus in this country, do we? I don't need anything from God. I don't even need God. Don't do something about him. Men are losing their souls because they are super complacent about religion. There's no point. I ask the question, why would anybody take just a moment to look at Jesus Christ and see what he offers? After all, like the rich young ruler, I've got all the wealth that I need. What need have I of God? Jesus had compassion on that rich young ruler. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter heaven. That's the state of the United States of America. And yet, in some places in this world, Christ is shining his light, and people are seeing that light. People are turning to that light. I personally know of people who walk 4 hours just to make it to services. Walk 4 hours back home. I know people who will walk through floodwaters to get to services. I know people who are eating rice that's been pre-eaten by rats and have their faith in Jesus Christ and still make it to services. I know people who are just one hair away from starvation and they still make it to services. They take the light of Jesus Christ into their hearts and their minds and their souls, and they live the life of peace, sweetness, kindness, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, thanksgiving, godliness, love, self-control. It's amazing the world in our country doesn't want that. They'd rather get drunk. They'd rather abuse their spouse, abuse their children. And I'm not saying that's the most common occurrence in this country. There are thousands and thousands of good people in this country. But yet even the good people aren't taking time to look at Jesus. Take a look with me at 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Beginning in verse 7. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing or desiring that anyone should perish, but for all to come to repentance. My friends, if you're in this audience this morning and you're not of God, not with God, not have been saved by God, if your name's not in heaven, you need to pay attention to what Jesus has to say. For he has the words of salvation. And he has given those words to men, to the apostles, who are approved by God to write down these words in the scriptures, so that all people everywhere may know the promises, the sweet promises of God, of salvation, of heaven, that the toils of this earth will be over, that the pain of this earth will be over, that the death that we must endure will be over, that we'll be in heaven, the most beautiful place with Almighty God, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We thank God for these promises. But then there's another part to what has occurred here, and that is the voice that comes from heaven. It says, listen to him. Well, you're already, I hope, in 2 Peter. Back up, please, to the first chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales. We didn't make this stuff up. We didn't all get together and sit around, hey, let's write the Bible today. What are you going to say? Let's make sure our stories agree. That's the opposite of what Peter is saying. We made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. Peter, John, James, they saw this. They saw that flash of brilliant light in the word from heaven. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, the light, the voice, the word, until the day dawns, the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Second Corinthians, please. Beginning in verse 5. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, we are going to be your servants in order to do as God wants us to do and to say.